Chapter 10.
Has he gave you leave, then?
Asked Shu Han.
We devised the plan together, replied Borgel.
And Rio?
He does not know. The Noyan Khan ruled that only we should take the risk.
A dangerous course,
Borgel shrugged.
We are running short of choices.
Then we do it for honour, Zadjin Aga.
Or the example.
To refuse the chance, though,
Zhu Han grinned.
Unworthy.
Borgel didn't smile. He recalled then, just as he had recalled on and off for the last few weeks, Yusugai's words to him at Guanzhou, spoken before he had even completed his training more than 8 years ago, and yet resonating still, as if planted in his consciousness for this very purpose.
It is about limitation, and then understanding.
The western horizon was lightening quickly, a blush of ruby red that would soon swell into orange. All across the northern slopes of the ridge, embattled Legion forces were preparing for another attempt at driving north to the saddleback. The objective was visible, a humpback of bristling crystals, half hazed by the pre-dawn mists. It looked a long way away, every intervening kilometre blocked by the war host that clustered on the plains, already chanting, already drumming, beckoning them down to begin the carnage again. Rior thought there was a weakness on the eastern margin, a slight thinning of Xenos emplacements. Hasek deemed that optimistic, but the Lunar Wolves had nevertheless taken position there, deploying their remaining land raiders and rhino transports into their familiar spear-tip formation, and arranging air cover from Stormbird squadrons stationed 50 kilometres to the south. The auxilia would be placed mostly in the rear, their shattered equipment barely able to trundle down the incline, let alone contribute, though 15 of the most intact squadrons had been taken by Hasek to cover his left flank. That left the centre, the direct line across the plains. The Brotherhoods saddled up for this, taking every remaining jet bike and grav flyer and pressing them into service. Close to 600 mounts remained serviceable, and now growled and shivered on top of the ridge like thoroughbreds, their smokestacks cracking and their repulsor plates whining up to full power. Dawn was the signal. Every pair of eyes, human and Xenos, flickered towards the west, to the spreading light. The roar was already back up to full pitch, the skies dancing with the first scraps of filmy emerald fulguration. Despite his relative inexperience, the heavy losses had made Borghal the most senior of the six remaining Stormseers attached to Hasek's horde. Zhu Han was next in rank. The rest were barely out of ascension on Jagoris. For weeks they had been contesting the aura generated by the Orcs' hidden shaman caste, thinning it with clustered lightning strikes and driving the Fulbrunt back with their summoned gales. Without those efforts, the Legion forces might still have been locked in the trench lines, but the toll had been crushing. Three of their original contingent were dead, their minds flayed and hollowed by the punishing effort required to go up against the Xenos witches. For all that sacrifice, the respite they won from that gestalt harrowing was only ever temporary, a mere lessening of its full destructive power, and not the decisive stroke they needed to break the power of the psychic collective. They could not get close enough to the origin. They could sense their shamanic counterparts from afar, even catching rare glimpses of them amid the grinding press of Xenos bodies, but they could never fight their way to within range of a kill. The six Stormseers saddled up, mounting the thrumming chassis of Scimitar-class jet bikes. They all wore full armour and carried their staves one-handed, angling them like cavalry spears. Only their clattering ranks of totems and the more elaborate clan markings on their armour distinguished them from the mass of Trigorian warriors. On either side of them, more squadrons of jet bikes revved and bucked, as if straining for the order to loose. Out on the plain below, the Orcs jostled and stamped to get to the front rank, screaming and bellowing. Arcs of green lightning snapped across their tusked heads now, pinging and latching on to the thousands of crystal outcrops and making the hauntingly angular landscape shimmer.
"Clear your mind,"
foxed Borgal, running through the exercises himself, bringing his psychic sense out of abeyance and into sharp focus. Just as he had every day since arriving on this malignant world, he felt the strange crystal formations humming in sympathy, sucking in the potential and coiling it deep within their reflective depths. A blush of orange crept across the jagged west, catching on the orthogonal peaks and flashing softly. The roar grew. The front ranks of orcs pressed forwards, shoving to gain the lower reaches of the ridgeline. As the light spread, their numbers were revealed again. Thousands upon thousands, each of them huge and armor-crusted, swinging spittle-laced cleavers and hauling boxy projectile weapons. There was no end to them. It felt like teetering on the edge of an infinite, endlessly mobile cauldron of psychosis. Borghal's helm display glowed with the standby command, something every Ordu warrior across the long summit would now be seeing.
"He fights at your shoulder,"
came Hasek's voxed injunction, sent to Borghal alone. Borghal nodded. That was true of all of them. Even when separated by many hundreds of kilometres, the Great Khan was always at their shoulder, as ever present as the hawk's gaze. But the sentiment was appreciated. Hasek was a good commander, and knew what risks were being run in this. The rune glowed red. Then, in a blink of adjusting retinal substrate, it switched to enact. The battle horns blared, sending augmented Ordex blasts roaring from the throats of Chagorian Raken trumpets. The lunar wolves thundered in turn, kicking down the slope in a fury of dust and blazing vox augmitters. Bullet-punched standards swung erect, displaying the livery of the 16th Legion, the 5th Legion, the 88th Cohort, and the undying eternal Imperium of Man, whose destiny it was and had always been to scour all other life from the stars. The jet bikes leapt forwards, 600 of them, boosting high on superloaded grav plates, before their prows dipped and they shot down the incline like loosed arrows. The sun rose in full, throwing long shadows back across the tangled crystals, flaring against the ranks of thundering thrusters. Borghal was first away, along with his Stormseer brothers. They hurtled down the incline, swaying around the terrain as it knifed past, keying their heavy bolters, Volkite culverins and multi-melters into juddering life, and pulling targeting lines across their cogitator-linked helm displays. Air support boomed ahead of them, barely 15 meters over ground level and boosting hard. 20 Sokar pattern Stormbirds laid down volleys of las cannon fire, heavy bolter rounds and missile salvos, interspersed with sonic booming thunderhawks, hammering every sliver of every gap, turning the entire kilometers-long battlefront into a false mountain range of magma-red explosions. The white scars shot clean through that fire curtain into the reeling Xenos. The Stormbirds above wheeled around for a second pass, while the Auxilia's mobile armour ground its way forwards, keeping its ranged fire just ahead of the cavalry onslaught. The Lunar Wolves' mechanised squads hit deep and hit fast, running through rank after rank of green-skinned defiance and leaving it sticky and extended across their tracks. But the white scars, as ever, were faster. "Faster than thought," the Khan had always promised. So fast that it addled the senses and shocked the nerves. So fast that as soon as the enemy realised it was being attacked, it was already over for them, and the fight had started for the next target in line. Borghal whooped aloud.
"Khagan!"
The roar came from the lips of every fighter. Other legions might invoke the Emperor. But for the White Scars, there was only the Lord of the Plains, the one who had set them free to do this forever.
"Ordu Gamana Jagatai!"
They crashed hard into the still-living throngs of orcs, driving straight through them in a thrown shockwave of blood and armour shards. The bolter rain never ceased, ploughing deep ahead to clear narrow tracks between the staggering Xenos bodies. Those that survived the firestorm and the projectile hurricane were slashed in two by the glittering blades that whirled and thrust from the rider's expert hands. The sword edges were travelling at an absurd velocity by then, impossible to evade, and the curved talwars were as hard and sharp as starlight. In these moments, there was nothing but exhilaration, Xiphon pattern interceptors scored overhead, strafing and twisting before darting free of return fire. The tanks belched shells, the Legion transports fizzed with lasfire, and the infantry crunched and smacked its way north. But the shock could not last. The orcs had known it was coming and had beckoned the impact. They were sent into paroxysms by the violence of it, for this was what they worshipped, the one thing that their sluggish minds could genuinely appreciate and respond to. The flames made them scream with something like joy, the thrown blood and burst organs eliciting only cackles of laughter from those next to face the blade. They fought back. They surged up to meet the onslaught, grinning from those great tusked jawlines, utterly fearless, completely without hesitation or doubt. They struck riders from their bikes, sending the huge machines cartwheeling. They threw themselves at the tank tracks, blowing them up with messy blasts of looped grenades. They went toe-to-toe with the Legiones Astartes fighters, cracking blades into blades, throwing iron-bound punches, ramming spikes and gouges into breastplates, headbutting, gnawing, strangling. Mere minutes into the huge massed charge, the pace of acceleration had already slowed by half. Legion spearheads pushed deeper, but their casualties mounted. The saddleback remained frustratingly distant, like some gigantic tombstone destined to carry their names. Borghal sped on, using his bike as a battering ram and riding down those who tried to leap up and drag him from the saddle. His stormseers came with him, relying on Bolter and Talwar to reap their toll of bodies. More than 30 of the Legion's fighters kept close by them, forming a hard knot of jet bikes that scythed through the Xenos like a goad twisted into pliant flesh.
"Faster!"
roared Borghal, depressing his accelerator pedal another notch and feeling the engine's kick.
"No respite!"
Their formation was already far ahead of their supporting infantry. The artillery's mortar arcs were falling a long way behind them, and the Imperial air cover was concentrated towards the main battlefront. In a few more seconds, they would be beyond help entirely, their dazzling charge cut off by the encircling bulk of Xenos. They kept going, enduring explosions and bike losses and ruptured drives. They took more hits, more jet bikes upended and swiftly devoured by the swarms, their carcasses bouncing and disintegrating before they shattered across the crystal towers. Borghal never even saw them go. He leaned forwards in the saddle, oblivious to the percussive growl of his bike's overheated bolters, oblivious even to the movements of his own dancing sword hand. His every conscious effort was bent towards the origin of the Hain Gala, the crushing psychic wave that made every assault as stifling as flying into the heart of a hurricane. For a few horrific moments, it seemed as if their trajectory had been wrong, that the augurs had lied, and the Xenos shamans were placed further back in that seamless mass of bodies. Borghal maintained his ferocious pace, running down another ironclad brute and eviscerating a second with a slice of his curved blade. His brothers matched his speed and held formation, still committed to the same velocity and trajectory. Then he sensed it. In his mind, he saw the originators of the psychic roar, the wizened, withered beasts clad in stinking robes, whirling their emaciated bodies around in frantic ritual movements, croaking out unintelligible words and pulling fresh mania from the skies.
"I have it!"
he announced, changing direction a fraction to drive closer in. The rest of the bikes came with him. Every stormseer stowed his blade and reached for his staff, and their slipstreams crackled with silver streaks of pre-detonation energy. The escorting warriors, down to 20 now, pulled up around them, protecting them from the orcs with their own bodies. Closer. 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 The press of Xenos grew worse, a physical block of green hides that thudded into and slowed the assault. Once a bike was slowed, it was vulnerable, the orcs able to leap on it and smash the rider from the mount, so the white scars kept on pressing, weaving and diving through the living terrain. Borghal's mental image clarified. He perceived the shamanic chorus now in their full trance state, their bodies consumed by the living ether, their hearts pounding and their adrenaline levels raging. He saw them gorge on the resonating power in the faceted land around them, drinking it in and vomiting it out again. The sheer volume of that discharge was incredible, fueled by the sympathetic harmonics of the crystals and earthed into the rage of the Xenos themselves. It was immense, titanic, a tidal wave of mindless force that dwarfed anything the Storm Seers could summon or contest. It is about limitation. Borghal's jet bike skidded to a halt, smashing aside a whole swathe of greenskins as it kicked into the long slide. The other Storm Seers did likewise, but the escorting warriors overshot, driving the orcs back and clearing a small patch of open space in the midst of the horde. The Xenos raged back instantly, hammering at the fragile barrier set up by the White Scars legionaries. But for the moment, the Storm Seers existed in a small bubble of calm, ringed on all sides by their guards and the Xenos war host beyond them.
"Nemagd!"
commanded Borghal, and the Storm Seers raised their staffs towards a single point. Energies immediately crackled around them, turning as green as the lightning bursts that flickered across the entire landscape. The orcs hurled themselves at the protective line of warriors, forcing them back, but for a few precious moments they couldn't smash their way through. The Storm Seers remained motionless within the circle, ramping up their power, channeling the superabundant ether into spinning vortices of physical energy. It did nothing to dampen the Xenos rage. If anything, the aura of violence increased, rearing further and churning more wildly. And soon, the truth became apparent. The Storm Seers' intervention was bolstering it, feeding into it, shoving more fuel into an already thundering furnace. The more the Storm Seers channeled and amplified, the more the skies raged green and the apoplexy increased. The Xenos's wrath became truly apocalyptic, breaking its flimsy bounds and descending into wholly unfocused savagery. They began to attack one another, to mutilate themselves, fighting anything within an axe's range, whether it be the enemy or their own kind. Borghal gripped his staff tight, feeling sweat spike on his forehead. His psychic hood flared with heat, digging into his flesh like fishhooks. He could feel his consciousness slipping, the edges of his vision becoming blurred, but still he poured on the power, letting it surge through him like a river. He could perceive the shaman still, too far away for his physical eyes, but now well within his mental compass. They were screaming from a sudden fear now, aware that the forces they had summoned were running out of control, but unable to reel them back in. Their lips were drooling with blood, their eyes weeping, their capering desperate and jerky, as if they were being yanked by invisible chains. Their psychic discharge kept on mounting. The Storm Seers goaded it, whipping it onwards like a dumb beast, forcing it into becoming the stampede that would smash its bounds and rip apart the souls who had summoned it into being. The greenskins' only true weakness, their lack of discipline, was now the thing that was killing them. Once provoked into an overload, they had no way of hauling it back in.
"More!"
uttered Borghal through a tight jawline, screwing his eyes closed and ripping further through the veil between the worlds. He became dimly aware of one of his brothers collapsing, and of the deranged orcs rushing the fragile defences around him, and of the tug on his own soul from this reckless headlong charge into psychic excess.
"More!"
The first greenskin shaman expired, locked into a rictus of agony, its long fingers trembling as it dropped its own clattering staff. Another fell to the ground, blood fountaining from its eyes and mouth, clutching at its foul pot belly as the robes around it ignited. A third spasmed uncontrollably, its jaw cantilevering open and gushing raw ether matter. They were being snuffed out like candles, turned into husks by the netherworld burning through their veins and arteries. The orc's psychic aegis was breaking. Huge crystals shattered, blown into fragments by the whirling torrents, showering the figures still fighting under their shadow. For the first time since hostilities had commenced, the orcs wavered, their unshakable psychic aura ripped away like a ship's sail caught by a storm. Borghal fell to his knees. Zhuhan was already out cold, drained by the effort. The rest of the Storm Seers were fading fast, toppling from their mounts and sliding into stupor. Borgal fought to keep alert. His staff dropped from his fingers, smoking like an ember. Now was the moment of greatest danger. They were far from their own kind, lost in a sea of soul-crazed Xenos, their entire strength spent on triggering the wild chain reaction that had only amplified the ferocity thrumming around them. He shakily drew his blade, pushing himself back to a half-stand, trying to focus. The world swung around him, blurry and fractured. He saw a white armored fighter go down at last, ripped apart by a red-eyed monster with a gunning chainsword, and knew that he would be next in line. He rose up, bracing for the impact, and saw the creature lope at him, huge and ponderous, as if locked in some chrono-distortion. He knew he was too weak to fight it off. He could grin, though.
"We broke your witches,"
he spat out, just as the chainsword revved in towards him. The impact was horrific, nearly ripping his talwar from his grip and sending him staggering backwards. The monster's breath was overpowering, a mix of meat and blood and frenzy, and its massive chainsword hauled round to cleave his head from his shoulders. Somehow he parried, slapping the incoming strike away, but it nearly ripped his arms off. He detected more figures closing in on him, just smears of colour against a tilting world, and backed off, wondering how much time he'd bought Hasek's forces. The orc lunged, smacking Borghal's blade clean away and driving the whirring chainsword teeth into his right pauldron. He felt the line of agony bite and heard the clatter of armor shards against his helm. He punched out, trying to connect, and a gush of hot blood cascaded against his visor, blinding him. He staggered, trying to right himself. When his vision cleared, he saw the orc still looming over him, huge and banded with glistening muscle, reeking of fresh slaughter. Its head was gone. The stump of its neck was glossy with sinew, a ragged blast crater made by a single bolt shell. The Xenos body teetered for a moment before it finally crashed backwards, the still snarling chainsword flying loose from its grip at last. Borghal turned to see Hasek, mounted on his hovering jet bike, his armour plastered in long red streaks and his bolt pistol raised. More scars were arriving in his wake, and in the distance he could just make out the approaching grind of tank tracks.
"You're still needed, Zadian Aga,"
the Noyan Khan said, reloading his spent bolt pistol.
"Can you fight on?"
Borghal blinked hard, trying to clear his head. His staff was gone, burned to cinders by the release of weather magic. His body felt light, as if he might be dissipated by a gust of storm wind. All around him, his comrades were either prone or on their knees, but fresh reinforcements were arriving now, slamming into the newly confused orc lines and driving them back. The change in the air was palpable. The pressure wave of madness had been banished, blown out through overload. They could win this now. The orcs still fought, but without the incredible collective zeal they had displayed while locked within the Hain Gala. Now they could be broken. Borghal reached for his blade and took it up. His temples throbbed with savage levels of pain. Two of his storm seers were still not moving. He could barely pull in a breath, barely stand, barely even see. He shot a broken smile towards Hasek.
"With joy! My Khan,"
he said, bowing unsteadily before staggering back to his jet bike.